the frame, and we'll jump into the lesson on tonight. Father Yah, we glorify you and we just honor you. We give you all the praises for who you are, being our Most High God and the Almighty Yah. We just glorify you. Can't say it enough. And now we thank you for our Savior, Yahushua. We look forward to his soon return to gather us as a nation, to gather the righteous. And we praise you for him. We thank you for bringing us into the understanding, the enlightenment, enlightenments that's necessary to teach the truth. And we, again, just praise you in the name of Yahushua Mashiach. In his wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All righty. I'm just trying to see where to start. I guess we'll start at Ruth chapter 2. The book of Ruth chapter 2. And there are some things that I want to deal with in this passage, you know, because, you know, our goal is to always bring about understanding. And I've had opportunity to hear, I guess what would be considered the main portion of the message of a well-known individual who is a pastor. And and the way my mind works, you know, there are a lot of things that I just try my best to stay away from, but it's what Yah has placed upon, you know, myself, I believe, upon the ministry. I know upon the ministry. And it becomes very difficult at times. Again, sometimes I just try my best to just stay away from things. I'm like, I'm not going to even deal with it. But when, you know, when you're called, when you're chosen to bring about understanding, it's just real difficult to not teach the truth. You know, when I see different things or hear different things, it's very difficult for me not to teach the truth, you know, because I know that there is accountability for what I understand. And it's just certain scriptures that I'm reminded of as I sit and hear or see certain things, and I be silent about it. You know, it's like, okay, you've been called to be a watchman, and if there's, you know, what he told our nation, he's like, okay, if the watchmen don't warn the people in the city that there is approaching danger, he said, then you know, the accountability, the judgment is on that watchman. And that's kind of the way it is with me with scripture. It's like when I see people put things, you know, talk about things or put it on Facebook and different things like that, if it doesn't line up with the scripture, Yah just stir me up to deal with certain things. And I personally don't like doing it. It's just a personal thing for me. I just don't like doing it. I mean, sometimes I be like, okay, if you want to stay stupefied, then stay stupefied. But y'all like, no, you know, I've given you the gift to understand things, and you're held accountable for when you run across these things to do it. And y'all like, and I know that it brings about envy. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, when I first start dealing with certain things or making certain corrections and things like that, people's mindset, and it's the same thing that happened to the prophets and things like that in the scripture. The first thing that, you know, the first thing that happens to a person is they don't rejoice for getting understanding. Most people are offended when you correct them. But, you know, the scripture says, you know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or he corrects. And so I look at correction from a different perspective, or when Yah leads me to understand things deeper or clearer or something like that, it puts me in the position to know that, man, wow, it leaves me saying, wow, y'all love me enough to correct me. You love me enough to lead me. You love me enough to show me things. Well, you have people who are special, you know, especially the nation of Israel, and so I put them first. You have the nation of Israel, and then you have mankind that's that way. They have a difficult time with correction, and they'll look at things, and when they see the correction and can't dispute the actual correction, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll start to attack you as the individual who brings about the understanding. And so this is one of these lessons that I want to just kind of deal with and look at it just in case any of you run across this particular message, lesson. You know, you got to be careful. You know, I don't discourage you from listening to any preacher, but at the same time, I encourage you to make sure that whoever you listen to, that it lines up with the scripture. Don't get caught in the feel-good portion of the message. You know, it's sounding good and it feels good to you and all these different things. So therefore, some people come to win that prayer, win it with my spirit. Well, I know sometimes my spirit ain't where it should be. So I don't judge things that bear witness with my spirit. I judge things based upon how the Holy Spirit is dealing with my spirit. So, you know, so I want to encourage you to do the same, you know, because, you know, I tell you guys often, I'm just too thrown off and crazy and a little bit on the stupid side and ignorant and, you know, dumb and all that apart from y'all. You know, so I don't put a whole lot of trust in me. Now, Ruth, Book of Ruth, I'll start at, again, chapter 2 just to find us a place to deal with this. You can go to chapter 1 and you find out what happened to Ruth. She was a Moabitess woman, descendant of Moab, and so she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And there were some things that happened to her husband and things like that, and so we pick up in chapter 2, verse 1. It said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of of Elimelech. I think I said that right. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. Now, when you see ears of corn, this is really wheat. It's not the American corn that you understand, but it's wheat. So a lot of times you read scripture and it's talking about corn, it's mainly meaning some form of wheat or wheat. And glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I find grace. Now, when you look at this, especially, you know, I've heard a lot of preachers deal with this, and they paint a picture of Ruth as being this woman who is out trying to catch her man, kind of deal. You know, she's out trying to catch her man, and it's not the truth, because when you understand the heart of Ruth, and we'll see her heart, when you understand the heart of Ruth, you know, her main concern is her mother-in-law, okay? And so when you look at the grace that she's looking for, it's all about being able to get the food without having any issues. So that's the grace she's looking for. It's not that she's trying to say, well, you know, I want to get to that man. And so I've come across a lot of people who use the story of Ruth to try to build women up with some twisted way of how to get your perfect man, your ideal man kind of deal. And I see it a lot in sermons and things like that when it's describing the mentality of Ruth. So when you look at some things, like, so you can deal with chapter 1, you can see some things taking place in here, but I want to focus on the main reason why Ruth ends up being in the position that she's in to bring about a, and so I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I want you to see the position that Ruth ended up in to bring about an understanding that this is the process by which everybody ends up in a position of grace. I think this way at this point. Now, verse 2 said, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him. See, so when you look at after him, the word him is not even supposed to be there. She said, it says after corn, after in whom sight I may find grace. So she wasn't concerned about whose field she was getting in. She was like, I'm just trying to find somebody who's going to be kind enough to let us get wheat. You know, but when the hymn is put in there and it's italicized, it takes away from the heart of Ruth, and it makes you think that she has an agenda in trying to get next to Boaz. That's not a concern. She didn't care who she got next to as long as it gave her the grace enough for them to have food, provision. Okay. Now, then she's after whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in a field after the reapers. And her half was to light on a part of the field unto Boaz, which was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now let's deal with the word half, okay? Now, when it says, have you ever heard of the term happenstance? So when you look at the word half, it shows her motive. She doesn't have an intent like what you hear preachers deal with. It's not like, again, she's saying, ooh, I see a fine man sitting over there and I'm finna go, you know, stroll out here and play like I'm picking up and working and being busy so I can catch him. Most of every preacher that I run across that teach Ruth, that's how they come across. And you hear it mostly in women's conferences and different things like that. So when you look at the word half is chance. It says befallen. Something befallen. So when you look at the befallen, it lets you know that she's not in control of what's going on. That there is a source who is orchestrating things for a specific reason concerning Ruth. So it takes the focal point off of Ruth or the woman in that she is doing something to impress her man, Boaz, eventually, as we'll see. It's not that she has intent to impress him for whatever reason or another. Her motive is innocent. All she's trying to do is find favor with somebody again to allow them to get food because they now have you know, Naomi was an Israelite, and so she was married to a Moabite man, and you know, and so there are things that's going on all in association with that, and so she's in that land. Naomi's in that land where when her husband died, she come back to the land of Israel. Okay, now, and her daughter-in-law, who Naomi had encouraged to stay in her own land. She was like, no, I'm going to stick with you, mother-in-law. She had affection for her mother-in-law. She loved her mother-in-law. She's like, I'm not going to leave you as a widow, okay? I'm not going to leave you. And so there are things that's going on, and you're seeing the faithfulness of Ruth that called the Yah. And I'm just getting ahead of myself because I want you to see it. You see the faithfulness of Ruth that causes Yah to move on her behalf. Okay? She's just trying to get food, but Yah got a whole lot planned for it than that. Okay? Now, verse 3 again says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, colon, and her half. So it lets you know that she's just following the reapers. Okay? And from her following, she happenstance, you know, coincidentally, was the light wants to light on that part of the field belonging unto Boaz. It's not that she knew that was his field. It just happenstance from her perspective, but yet Yah's working it out, okay? Then it says, who was of the kindred of Elimelech, okay? Now, when you look at it, when you look at how things are going on here, you see how this thing is being worked out now, okay? He was of the family of Naomi's husband. But I have to go to chapter 1 just to make sure that I'm not going to do it. Then it says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Is in verse 1? Oh, help me, son. What is it? Just read it.
And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz.
Okay. Yeah, so it does confirm that the kinsman is related to Naomi's husband, or Boaz is related to Naomi's husband. Okay. Now, then verse 3 says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Jehovah be with you. And they answered him, Jehovah bless thee. Computer's acting up. Go ahead and read it for me, son, while this thing is pulling up. Whichever verse I just, well, he says, bless thee, with his computer straight now.
Verse 5 says, Then said Boaz unto his servant, that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?
Okay. Now, as we see here, Boaz doesn't know who she is. She is not aware that she's in his field. So I just say it that way. I don't know if she knows who he is or not. The Bible doesn't reveal that, at least at this point. And so we'll just say she's innocently gleaning in the field, and Boaz doesn't know who she is. Okay, now my eyes come back up. And the servant that was sent over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab, okay? Out of the country of Moab.
Question.
Go ahead.
Moab is Lot's descendants, right?
That's correct. And how they came about is Lot's two daughters after Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, they didn't think anyone was left. And so they were concerned that their father wasn't going to have any seed left to keep his name in the land. So they got him drunk, and they slept with their father, and both daughters got pregnant by their father. And that's where the Moabites, or Moab, the descendants of Moab, come from. They're from the father and the two daughters, or at least one of the daughters, because I think one of them is Moab, and I think the other is Ammon, I believe. But I'm not for sure. Don't quote me on that. It's just something off the top of my head. So that's what that's happening. That's what it's happening from. That's how this family come about. So she is a descendant of Lot through his daughter. That's how that whole nation came about. Now, so Naomi, again, verse 6 says, and the servant that was sent over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she's talking to the servants. And so she's innocent behind this here. But like I said, when you hear most preachers teach this, they're coming across like she had some type of motive. And so women from that perspective now lead those meetings, and they're trying to be this, they try to put themselves out there to catch something. And it's sad how how leaders are leading specifically the nation of Israel astray. And when you look at the Gentile nations too, from these type of messages. So we wanna get things in this right perspective. Verse 7, now if anyone has something to say, I mean, don't feel free to stop me. Verse 7 says, she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from morning unto now, that she tarried a little in the house. So she was fellowshipping with these servants. In the one where she was in the house, and she was gleaning, okay? In other words, as they picked the wheat, you know, you pick with brick, and really relate to this, how you may be farmers, or a lot of country boys can kind of relate, where a person may be farming, and they may harvest the crop. Well, some may be left over. Well, that was left over. Ruth was going and getting that which was left over from the harvest. Okay, so that's why I'm saying glean. let me go back to and verse 8 says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Go not after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? That's the favor now. That's part of the favor. That's what Ruth is looking for. She's looking for someone to allow her to glean in those fields without them running her off. So that's what she was saying, I want to find favor. That's all she was looking for. Okay? Then it says, verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that shall not that they shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Okay. And thou shouldest take knowledge of me. Okay. Why should you take knowledge or acknowledge me? Seeing I am a stranger. So when you look at this, Ruth is not an Israelite. Okay, as I pointed out, she's a descendant of Lot. So she's from the descendants of Moab, so she's not an Israelite, but yet she still found favor with Yah, or found favor with Boaz. Okay. Now, as we continue to move on, so even when you look at it in the Old Testament, it does show that Yah has favor on strangers or Gentile nations. But we're going to find out why and how he gives favor. It's not, he's no respect of person when it comes down to his favor. Everybody can walk in the favor. It's just that there are certain things that have to be done. You're going to see it in what's going on with Ruth and how Boaz answers her. Verse 10 again, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her. Now, this is the thing the preachers don't read right here, because they're too busy trying to talk about how Ruth is working, and how, you know, if y'all want to bless you with something, you got to be busy working and doing something, and y'all bless you, you know, work up your hand and all that kind of stuff. You got to see the motive of Ruth to understand why she's experiencing what she's experiencing, even to the point where she does end up marrying Boaz. Okay, now verse 11 says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, I had fully been shown, it had fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. You know what I'm saying? Ruth's husband died, Naomi's husband died, and so, you know, they're basically widows. And so when you look at according to law and different things like that, they would allow the homeless and the widows and things like that to clean in fields and things like that because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have anybody to provide for them and to cover them. So our nation always had provisions available to and would leave things in fields and stuff like that in order to assist families who were in need. That's why that's what Malachi chapter 3 is about when it's talking about the tithe, you know, to be in the storehouse for provision to meet the needs of people. That's what it's all about. It's not, you know, it's not the mindset of the way that the church has now. Okay, and so were you trying to say something? Okay, so as you see it here in verse 11, I'll read it again. He says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. Let you know that she left the Moabite land, okay, nativity, and come unto a people which thou knowest not. So if she came to the nation of Israel, so she's in the land of Israel, that thou knowest not, heretofore. Verse 12, he says, now here's the answer now. Here's why Ruth is in the position that she's in and will in right now and will be in the position that she's in as far as the wife of Boaz as we continue to read the story. But I just wanted to focus on the main point of this. Now, verse 12 says, Jehovah recompense thy work, and full reward be given thee of Jehovah. Yah is orchestrating this. It's not that Ruth has gone out to intentionally position herself to catch a man. Ruth is just doing what Ruth always does. She's just a faithful daughter-in-law who's committed to trying to provide for her mother-in-law. For her mother-in-law, look at chapter 1, she's always concerned and had her mother-in-law's best interest at heart. And because of that, you see orchestrating things to favor or to show his grace toward Ruth. So verse 12 says, Jehovah recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of Jehovah Yah of Israel, under whose wing thou art come to trust. There it is right there. And all these things was happening to Ruth because Ruth had put her trust in Yah. She had gathered or had left her land, had left her family. She could have stayed in her land, went back to her father's house. Actually, that's what Naomi tried to get her to do. Go back to your family's house, be among your family, and everything is going to be fine with you. But she chose, no, I'm going to stay committed to you because, you know, being around Naomi as much as she was, you know, she know who the Most High is. Because she's attached to an Israelite woman. So she understands some things about the kingdom of the Most High. So when you look at Boaz saying these things, he's saying this is why you're walking in the favor and why I'm doing the things that I'm doing is because you put all your trust in Yah, and Yah has put it on my heart and shown me. He's dealt with me. Okay? So as you look at this here, verse 12, I'll read verse 12 again. Says, then Jehovah recompense thy work, and full reward be given thee of Jehovah Yah of Israel, under whose wing thou hast come to trust. That's the message right there. If I can stop right there and close down, we can go on. But I got to finish. It's vitally important to understand that, and we can learn a very important as far as Ruth is concerned, because Ruth's mindset is just about doing that which is righteous, about doing things from the goodness of her heart, and from that that caused Yah to move and to give her grace and favor to meet every need that she had. When it's all said and done, Ruth was a very important woman when it's all was said and done. Now, and you can read it in chapter 3 and chapter 4, and you can see she ended up marrying Boaz. Now, you know, and Boaz is an important man because, you know, when you look at what verse 1 says, as Alan pointed out, we'll go back to verse 1 and show you what she's getting herself into. We'll read verse 1 again. It says, Naomi had a kinsman of a husband, a mighty man of wealth. Boaz was a wealthy man, okay? He was wealthy, he had goods, he was a powerful man. And so because of that, she went from a woman just trying to glean and get scraps out of a field to having a wealthy man. But when you get preachers that try to explain it, they have women going out now trying to present themselves in an ungodly way to try to get some wealthy man instead of just allowing their love and their trust in Yah to open up all the doors that's necessary to meet needs that they may not even be necessarily thinking about. Okay. Now, verse 12 again says, Jehovah recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of Jehovah Yah of Israel, under whose wing thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. See, it wasn't his sight. He was just admitting why he was doing it. Yah is the one who's giving you this here. And then she says now, verse 13, and she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. Verse 14 said, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar, and she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her some corn that was parched, I guess it was cooked, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. He's not only saying, now he's gone from saying, don't just let her have the leftover, but let her have the part that we want, that we're harvesting. Give her some of the choices wheat. Okay? Don't give her the scrap. Give her the choice of wheat. So that's what he's saying in verse 15. So now, she because of her trust in Yah, Yah is now constantly opening up doors, giving her favor, but he is the source by which that favor is coming. That's why the scripture says the heart of the king, the king's heart is in the hand of the Most High. Okay? He stirs it whichever way he wants. And so what we have to understand is our responsibility, our goal is to trust Yah and please Him, and He'll deal with the hearts of people, okay? And He will stir those hearts, the hearts of the people, the minds of people, to give us the favor that's necessary, that He deems necessary in our lives, okay? Now, verse 15 says, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Don't mess with her. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. When you get this stuff, let her glean wherever she wants to, and then you take and leave some of the best stuff for her to be able to pick it up on purpose. Just leave it. Okay? Verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. Okay, barley, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Okay? She's just trying to eat. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "What hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And because that's what she's talking about when she initially started out. She needs to find favor with somebody. Okay? And she assured her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. So she didn't even really know who he was. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of Jehovah." See, she knows Yah moving. "Blessed be he of the Lord of Jehovah, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maiden, verse 23. So she kept fast by the maiden of Boaz to clean unto the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right here. And when you, on your own time, you can go into chapter 3 because you start seeing some things that go on to explain what happened with Ruth and how she ends up marrying Boaz, because there are certain things that was going on in these chapters or in these next two chapters to bring about an understanding of how she does end up marrying him and different things like that. But I wanted to point out the main reason why all this started happening to Ruth in the first place. She put her trust in Yah. And that's one of the things that I want to encourage, you know, each one of you to do. You know, I don't know whatever you may be going through, whatever you're dealing with. No matter what, you know, always keep your trust in Yah. And when you keep your trust in Yah and stay faithful to Him, He always do the things that's necessary to meet all the needs that we may have, whatever those needs may be. Okay. And that's why I wanted to point out the true perspective of Ruth, instead of having women use her as an example to bring about their selfish desire of trying to catch some wealthy man. You know, Ruth had no intent from that perspective whatsoever. All she was doing was trying to provide for her mother and her mother-in-law, because of her faithfulness to Yah. Yah opened every door that was necessary to meet her need, and said all that to say that He will do the same for each one of us, as long as we stay committed, as far as our trust in Him, and do all the things that's necessary, and how He leads us. He will always give us grace and favor to go through this life having everything that we need, we have necessities for. So that's all I wanted to share with you. There's no other questions or comments. I'll go ahead and start right there. Any questions or comments? Okay, good. All right. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and stop right there leave us with some time this time, since I've taken going over a lot of time. I just leave us with some time this time. All right, Father Yah, we bless Your name on today, and we thank You for Ruth being an example of what happens when we put our trust in You. Right now, we just stand before You, and we decree that we do trust You, and and we need your help in every facet of that trust. And we thank you for you using Ruth as an example to show that that everyone who commits and trusts you with a pure heart will always be in a position where they will find favor among men. And we seek both favor with you, Yah, and also with men that you lead and guide into our path. We trust you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.